day.
Good morning, Barbados. I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My name is Reverend Nicole Hoyt, and I am the pastor of the Beckles Road Church of the Nazarene. Before I begin this morning's message on the theme, A Real Love, I want to pause to extend thanks to our sponsors, Federal Motor Spares, located on Bank Hall Main Road, and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. Thank you for your faithfulness throughout the years that has kept this program on radio. We praise God for you, and we pray God's continued blessings upon you. Please take note of the following invitation to an event being hosted by the District Women's Ministry.
In celebration of International Women's Day, the Church of the Nazarene's District Women's Ministries presents Resilient Voices, Women Who Break Barriers. We are celebrating the courage of women who continue to rise despite their challenges. Come and experience dynamic worship, an all-women's choir, and a powerful word of inspiration from our guest speaker, Minister Andrea Harris. March 9th at 5 p.m. at the Bank Hall Church of the Nazarene. Ladies, we are encouraging you to wear your pink and your purple as we continue to break barriers together. Come and be blessed. We cannot wait to see you there.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your love. Thank you for your word. And God, as you will speak to us today, may your word speak to us in a real and a meaningful way. May your word bring change. May your word challenge us, God, to be better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now imagine for a few moments, if you would, that you were traveling down a busy street and you saw someone stranded by the side of the road. You noticed them, but instead of stopping, you continue on thinking, maybe someone else will help. I don't have to bother with them. Now, what if that person was someone we did not particularly like, or someone from a different background, different beliefs, or perhaps someone who had wronged you in some way before? If you look at our text this morning, which is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37, you will see a similar account here, in the account that we commonly refer to as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Many of us know this parable from the time we were just little children, as you were told this story in Sunday school, or maybe even in regular school. Today, as we examine this portion of scripture together, we will notice some things that are revealed to us about real love, answering for us the question, what does real love look like? And you will see coming from this text that, first of all, real love sees the need. Secondly, you will see that real love takes action. Thirdly, you will see that real love breaks barriers. And fourthly, you will see that real love reflects the love of Christ. Now, the context of this particular passage was Jesus being questioned by a lawyer. And the lawyer asked him, what must he do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus turned the question around and asked them, what does the law say? How do you read it? And this man, being an expert in the law, rattled off. And he said, you know, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and mind, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus affirmed this, and he said, yes, that is true. But the lawyer, who was seeking to push the needle even further, he wanted to test Jesus, wanted to justify himself, asked the question, who is my neighbor? Now, this question reveals something about human nature and the way we treat love, and that is, we as human beings tend to want to limit our love. We tend to want to limit the persons who can receive our love, the persons we feel obligated to love. And that is what this man was really trying to ask Jesus. Who is it that I should show love to? Who can I pick and choose from the vast majority of your creation that I can choose to show love to? And I want to submit that sadly, this is not just a case of this lawyer, but this is a case of human nature. We, by nature, tend to want to limit those who we love. We want to love those who look like us. We want to love those who behave like us. We want to love those who agree with us. We want to love those who are easy to love. But when we encounter those who are different, those who challenge the limits of our love, sometimes we want to shy away. So in response to this question, who is my neighbor? Jesus gives a response that shatters all of his preconceived notions. It shatters all of the boundaries that he wanted to establish as we relate to love. And I believe as we look at this account, it will help us to redefine what real, true, genuine love is like, especially for those of us who were called by the name of Christ. The first thing we'll examine this morning is that real love sees the need of others. Jesus began by telling this parable about this man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this was described as a rocky road. It was a dangerous terrain. It was steep. It was mountainous. It had sharp corners. It was prime area for robbers to target persons. And that is exactly what happened in this account. This man, probably a Jew, he was attacked by robbers. He was stripped. He was beaten. And he was left for dead. And he is seen by a few people. First, two religious leaders saw him. The first one was a priest, and as the account goes, he saw the man, and he passed on the other side. The Levite, also another religious figure, saw him, and he passed on the other side as well. Now, these were men who knew the law, but yet they failed to demonstrate love. And I believe that wrapped up in this is a lesson for us as well. And that lesson is that being involved in religion or religious activities does not mean that we understand or that we demonstrate real love. Because these men knew all about the law, they knew all about religion, but they failed to show love to this man that had need. And he asked the question, why did they not pay attention to the needs of the man? I have a few suggestions as well. Perhaps they were busy, because you know, sometimes we get very busy, we get caught up in our own schedules and our plans and our program, and we tend to overlook those who are in need. Perhaps their fear for their own safety, because as you've heard, it was a tough strip of road to be on, and this man was already beaten and robbed. And perhaps they were worried about their own well-being, as we are at times. Perhaps they're more concerned about remaining ceremoniously clean, because in those days, in that culture, if you would encounter a dead body or a bruise or a wounded body, you could stand the risk of becoming unclean. And so maybe they cross the other side to keep themselves pure. And you know, maybe even as we do sometimes, we cross on the other side, so to speak, to keep ourselves from becoming contaminated with the needs or with the issues that are around us in our society. Perhaps it was a case of bystander's effect. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will help. Somebody else will come along and do it. So we relieve ourselves of the responsibility of needing to do it, because somebody else will surely get the job done. Whatever the reason though, these men failed to see the real needs that were present before them, and they missed a prime opportunity to minister to someone who was in need. Now this third man that entered the scene, I am sure would have shocked the audience that were present at this time, because he wasn't presented as a Jew, he was presented as a Samaritan man. And there were many issues that the Jews had with the Samaritans. And so even him being introduced into the story may have caused some cause for concern. And then what happened next would have been even more alarming for the audience at the time. The word of God says to us that unlike the priest and the Levite who had gone before, this Samaritan man saw him. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. Some other versions say that he had compassion on him. In other words, he saw beyond just the man laying on the street and who he was and his nationality and his religion. He saw a person who had need. And that is what real love does. Real love sees the needs of those around us. Real love sees those that are hurting, those that are in need of resources, those who need help, those who are ostracized, those who are being abused, those who are being neglected. Real love sees needs. And that is what this man saw. He was able to see just beyond the surface, but to see the real needs. And the word says he was moved with compassion and it led him to do something. And this brings me to my second point. Real love acts. We see this man pressed into action right away. We see that unlike the others who just wanted to escape very quickly, this man began to act. First, it says that he went to him. And I want to submit to us, this is a very significant thing, because Unlike many of us who sometimes want to put as much distance between us and those who have needs, this man literally took the time to go close to him. He went up close to examine the needs that he had. Oftentimes, we want to treat things from a distance. We want to diagnose issues. We want to bring solutions without a real intimate knowledge of what's really going on. Because as I said before, we try to put as much distance between us and the needs so we don't have to be too bothered by what is happening. We want to put solutions in place without really understanding what it is that's happening. This man went to him. He drew close to the man who had a need. That was the first action, the first step. Then it says he bandaged the wounds. He poured oil and wine. And this says to me, this man invested his resources of oil and wine that would have been costly and that he would have had for another purpose. He chose to use these things to assist this man in need. You see, real love that acts requires us to use our resources. Sometimes we have resources that are there to be used to help those in need, but because they're costly, because they're precious, because we've worked hard to earn them or do something to possess them, we sometimes think too hard about giving those to people in need. This Good Samaritan chose to use his resources to help this man heal. He chose to use bandages that he had, whatever cloth, whatever it is that he had. He took the effort and the energy to invest in helping him get better. Is our love prepared to go to these lengths to help those who have needs? The next thing the Samaritan did was to put the man on his own donkey, which meant that he was sacrificing his own comfort and convenience to allow the wounded man to ride while he walked. It have also meant that he would have delayed his journey because rather than riding where he is going, he now has to walk alongside the donkey. Sometimes real love requires us to be inconvenienced or uncomfortable. And perhaps that is why we shy away from it at times, because we don't like to be inconvenienced. We don't like to be taxed. We don't like to put ourselves out for on behalf of other people. But as Jesus told this parable, he's showing us through this love of this Good Samaritan that this is what real love looks like. It acts. And sometimes that action means that we ourselves must be slightly inconvenienced. The next thing he did is that he took his own money and he took him to an inn and he paid for him to be well. And not only did he pay for him to be well, he said, look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have. Which tells me this man was prepared to make a long-term commitment to ensure that this stranger that he passed on the road made a full recovery. He was committed to do whatever he could, whatever was in his power to do, to ensure that this man that he found laying on the road was healed and was made well. And whatever expense it took, he was prepared to take it on. Again, I ask the question, is our love committed for the long haul? Is our love committed to see persons being well totally? Or are we just there for the short term? You see, he could have bandaged him and left him on the road, hoping that, you know, that would be enough. But he was committed to ensure that whatever lengths he had to go to ensure the well-being of this man, that he did. Does our love look like that today? So we see that real love sees. We see that real love acts. And thirdly, we will look at the fact that real love breaks barriers. When Jesus was finished telling this parable, he asked the lawyer, which of these men was the neighbor? And I chuckle when I read the lawyer's response. He could not even bring himself to say the Samaritan man. He simply said, the one who showed mercy on him. Now, I want for us to understand that Samaritans were not a people that people genuinely liked. They were despised and they had all kind of cultural and religious differences between them and the Jews. So if there was any person who had reason to be hostile toward this man who was injured, it was a Samaritan man. If there was any person who may have been excused or justified from going on the other side of the road or walking away from this man in need, it would have been this Samaritan man. But this Samaritan man, when he saw him, did not see a Jew or any other religion. He saw a man that was in need. And that is what our love, our real love, must do. Our real love must look beyond all kind of racial, all kind of political differences, all kind of religious differences, and see people who have needs. Our real love must look beyond those who choose to spend their time maybe involved in practices that we don't approve of, and choose to see them as people who have need. And we must be prepared to respond to those needs. You see, our real love is not just for friends. It's not just for families. It's not just for those that are desirable. Our real love is for strangers. It's even for our enemies. And this parable teaches us that love is not based on who deserves it. It is not based on who is worthy of it. It is based on who needs it. And so we should love without prejudice. We should not allow any barriers to keep us or hinder us from loving those who we come into contact with. Because even as Galatians 5:14 reinforces, and the lawyer had already said, we must love our neighbor as ourselves. And so we must love those we come into contact with, even as we love our very selves. And this brings me to my fourth point. And that is, this real love that we talk about is a love that reflects Christ, is a love that shows us a picture of Christ. As you look at this Good Samaritan, we see wrapped up in him an image of Christ and what Christ came to do for us here on earth. We see first, as a Good Samaritan, that Christ sees our need. In the parable, the wounded man represents all of us. The ones who are broken, the ones who are helpless, the ones who were left for dead by sin. Because, as Romans 3:23 says to us, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Ephesians 2:1 speaks about us being dead in our trespasses and sin. So all of us are like this wounded man. But just like the Samaritan, Jesus saw us in that time of need. And just like how the Samaritan did not leave him in this desperate situation, Christ himself does not leave us in our desperate situation. He does not pass by on the other side. He stops, and the Samaritan man, he draws close to us and comes to us in our brokenness, comes to us to take action, to help us, to save us. Like the Samaritan man, the love of Christ does not just see us, but the love of Christ moves him into action. The Samaritan man does not just feel sorry for the man, he acts. Likewise, Jesus did not just observe our suffering from a distance. He stepped into our world to rescue us. Philippians 2:6-7 says, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He came and he emptied himself. He took action. The Samaritan man bandaged the wounds. He poured oil and he poured wine on the wounds. And the same way, Christ took action. He emptied himself, pouring out his very precious blood for the redemption of all of us. And so we see this love, this real love, being reflected in the love of Christ. We also see it being reflected in the fact that as the Samaritan man paid for the restoration of the man, Christ also paid for our restoration. Christ also paid for our redemption. Where the man paid money, Christ paid with his life. He paid with his precious blood. Even as we read in scripture, 1 Peter 1:18 to 19 says that we were not ransomed with perishable things, but we were ransomed with the precious blood of Jesus. Christ paid the price. Like the Samaritan also, the love of Christ knows no boundaries. The word of God says to us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It knows no boundaries in terms of geographical location. It knows no boundaries in terms of religion, in terms of even our own spiritual situation, our own spiritual reality. Because also in Romans 5:8, it says to us that God shows his love for us in this, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. So even those who are enemies of God, he loves. And so his love knows no boundaries. Because he did not just come to save the righteous and the privileged or the religious, but he came for all. He loves all, the outcast, the broken, as I said before, even his enemies. Additionally, this love reflects Christ in its intention to be committed to the long haul. The man said, I'm going to pay you now, and I'm going to return and pay the difference if there's any further expense when I return. In the same way, Christ is saying to us, I have saved you, but I'm going to come again. I'm going to come another time. I'm going to come back to complete the work which has been started. I'm not going to just save you and leave you here. I'm going to come back to complete this work. And so we can draw the parallels between what this Samaritan man did for this wounded person and what Christ has done for us today. And it's against this that Christ then says to the man, you go and do likewise. You see, Jesus was not just telling a story here. He was giving us a command. He was giving us an instruction. He was giving us a blueprint of what real love looks like. And so he says to us, you go and do likewise. You have been recipients of this kind of love, of this real love. And so our responsibility as children of God is to go and show this love to those that we encounter. So then, how can we live out this challenge? How can we live out this command to go and do likewise? I have 4 suggestions. The first one is that we must embrace a broader definition of our neighbors. We must understand that our neighbors are more than just those who live next door to us. They're more than just friends and family. They're more than just those who look like us. They're more than those who share our values. Our neighbors should include the outcast, the ostracized, even our enemies. In fact, a neighbor can be anyone we come into contact with. Secondly, we must explore opportunities to show compassion. We must take the time to see the needs around us. And not only to see them with our eyes, but to feel them, to be moved with compassion. And you don't have to look very far. All around us, there are opportunities to show compassion. There are opportunities in every district, every office, every church, every school. All around us. All we need to do is explore these opportunities. Thirdly, let us exhibit love through actions and not words only. Understand that love is an action word, and we should not just look at things and feel bad or say that we are sorry or feel sympathy, but we should feel empathy, which motivates us to do something. Let's exhibit our love in ways that require us to use our resources, our time, our money, our energy. And fourthly, expect to be inconvenienced. As we practice real love, there is a high possibility that we will be inconvenienced. So you must expect these inconveniences and even meet them with grace. We must be prepared to endure these inconveniences because real love operates even when it is tough. Because real love requires us to go beyond our comfort, but we must go and we must do it. As I bring this message to a close this morning, I want to reinforce the fact that love is a command. This is a command given to us. It is not a nice to have. It is a call for us to see the real love as demonstrated by the Samaritan. A love that sees, a love that acts, a love that surpasses boundaries, and a love that reflects Christ. It is a call for us to embrace this real love and then to go and do likewise. Go expand your definition of neighbors. Go and explore opportunities to show compassion. Go and exhibit love through actions and not just words. Go and expect the inconveniences that will come as we demonstrate the real love. And so the only question that remains is this. Will you go? Will you go and do likewise? It is my prayer and my hope that you do. That you take the lessons from the Good Samaritan and go show real love to everyone we encounter. Father, today we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, for speaking your word to us. We thank you, God, for even giving us another opportunity that we can go and show real love. We thank you, God, for the love that's demonstrated here, God. The love that you have given to us, the love that you have shown us, Lord. A love that indeed saw us in our time of need. A love that indeed acted and came to save. A love, God, that went the extra mile. God, we thank you, Lord, for the love, Lord, that invests in us, God. A love that required even personal sacrifice that you give on our behalf. And Father, I pray that today as your people, oh God, that even as we have experienced your love, that we will go and do likewise. Father, I also pray, God, for those today, Lord, who may be ostracized, and those, Father, who feel as though there is no one who loved them. Father, even today, Lord, I pray that you will remind them in some way that indeed you love them, Lord. And you, like the Good Samaritan, have given a great sacrifice to prove your love to them. Father, may they embrace your love, Father. And God, even use us, Lord, to be conduits of that love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I really want to thank you for joining us today on this Because He Lives program. And even as we close again, I want to say thanks to our sponsors, Federal Motor Spares and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. As I leave you with this beautiful hymn, one of my favorites, that speak about the love of God. The love of God, so rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and the angels' songs. Do enjoy and be blessed. God bless you.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest depth. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from His sin. Time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when those who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Grace will resound the whole earth round, the saints and angels' song. Could we within skies a parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and everyone a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. The saints and angels.